Today, our reporters take us from Capitol Hill to Spain to my hometown of Minneapolis. Though the stories are geographically diverse, one theme runs through several of them: trust. In southeastern Spain, scientists and farmers put their trust in artificial intelligence and other new technologies to help develop resilient crops and use less water in agriculture. In Davos, Switzerland, trust necessary to maintain the transatlantic alliance is being tested over Greenland. And in the United States, voters' trust in how federal immigration agents conduct themselves might be shifting. And be sure to read our story from Gaza, where Ghada Abdel Fattah reports on challenges Palestinians face during a harsh winter. It's Friday, January 23rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Audrey Thiebert. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Two women were arrested for taking part in a demonstration against immigration and customs enforcement at a Minneapolis church last Sunday. The Justice Department opened a civil rights investigation into what Attorney General Pam Bondi is calling a coordinated attack. Minnesota's Attorney General said the protesters, one of whom is a civil rights attorney, are protected by the First Amendment. Tensions over immigration enforcement have erupted in Minnesota since the fatal shooting this month of Renee Good by a federal agent. More than 150 Jewish faculty members at the University of Pennsylvania came out in support of the school's attempt to block a federal subpoena requesting personal information on Jewish faculty members and students as part of an anti-Semitism investigation. The university called the demand disconcerting and unnecessary, and reportedly offered to instead notify employees about how to provide any relevant information. The Justice Department launched a multi-agency task force last year to investigate anti-Semitism on campuses. Also, rock climber Alex Honnold is set to scale Taiwan's tallest skyscraper. It will be the first time a climber takes on Taipei 101 without ropes in Mr. Honnold's signature free solo style. Netflix will broadcast the climb live starting Friday evening for U.S. viewers, prompting debate over whether it might encourage irresponsible risk-taking. Other climbers have described free soloing as a meditative art form. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Former special counsel Jack Smith's efforts to prosecute Donald Trump for trying to overturn the 2020 election results ended more than a year ago. But political partisanship around the issue remained strong and was on display as Mr. Smith made his first public comments on the case during a House hearing. Scott Baldoff and Caitlin Babcock report from Washington for The Monitor. Voters still broadly favor securing the southern border, and they give President Donald Trump credit for that. But as immigration and customs enforcement continues to show up in force in cities across America, that appears to be reframing the issue, with 6 in 10 voters now disapproving of the president's handling of immigration. Simon Montlink and Sarah Matusik report from Boston and Minneapolis for The Monitor. In Gaza, winter has been an added hardship for displaced Palestinians, particularly the tens of thousands living in tents and pushed alongside the windy and frigid coast. Tents are too few and too flimsy. Ghada Abdel Fattah reports from Gaza City, Gaza Strip, for The Monitor. The dispute over Greenland may have been resolved at Davos, but it generated so much ill will and mistrust between Washington and its European allies that NATO might not recover. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. In a region with an arid climate and severe water scarcity, finding sustainable solutions to grow crops is urgent. So far, the answer has been to combine public infrastructure, scientific innovation, and sophisticated sensor technology. Contributor Gianni Esposito reports from Murcia, Spain, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on global power in freely given gratitude. Donald Trump was elected twice as president, in part because many Americans believe the United States has done enough for the world over more than a century in defending freedom and opening its markets and borders with little gratitude or assistance in return. That grievance over a perceived lack of gratitude was in full throttle Wednesday during Mr. Trump's speech to world leaders in Davos, Switzerland. The president criticized Denmark for being ungrateful after the U.S. saved its territory of Greenland during World War II and then gave it back. "We fought for Denmark," he said. "We weren't fighting for anyone else." He also went after America's northern neighbor. "Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful, but they're not." And he said this about America's role in many wars. "What does the United States get out of all of this work, all of this money, other than death, destruction, and massive amounts of cash going to people who don't appreciate what we do?" His demand for gratitude from either countries or companies is not new. Last year, Mr. Trump accused Ukraine of showing zero gratitude for U.S. support in the war with Russia. Yet many leaders have grown tired of this type of guilt-tripping that seems aimed at deal-making, that sees genuine gifts only as veiled bribery. In Davos, for example, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney indicated a new distance from the U.S. for the sake of Canada's prosperity and security. He is seeking ties with smaller nations like his that see power in legitimacy, integrity, and rules. One of Canada's top intellectuals, Michael Ignatieff, explained on Substack last year that gratitude is one of those feelings which ceases to be itself when it is forced. It is like love in that respect. It is in the very meaning of gratitude that it should be free. There used to be presidents who understood what freedom was and why it was unnecessary to demand gratitude when the United States defended it. "Not anymore," he wrote. For his 2017 book, The Ordinary Virtues, Moral Order in a Divided World, Dr. Ignatieff traveled the world to vulnerable communities under stress to find out how they developed their own moral practice, including appreciation for one another in order to live together. He found that ordinary virtues are not an abstraction or seen as universal, but are something individuals discover in each other from community encounters. They are both local and the point and purpose of a human life. That may be why Prime Minister Carney's speech in Davos drew high praise. In it, he called on countries under stress like his to help build a new order that encompasses common values in genuine cooperation. Any gratitude for the success of that project will probably be freely given. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we can trust God to show us what we need to know as we go about our work. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Ian Case, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.